Nature documentaries have made heroes out of those determined folk who risk all to study the likes of crocodiles, bears, and elephants. But what about the study of, shall we say, the less noble, less charismatic animals amongst us? What about the woodchuck? Despite the fact that this voracious rodent is among the most common mammals found in the wilds of North America, they haven't been widely studied. Matthew Algio of Maine Public Radio caught up with one researcher who's determined to unravel the secret life of this corpulent creature.
It's early on a warm, muggy morning. The air is heavy with fog. And Chris Mayer is on the prowl for woodchucks.
Oop, there she is. I think that's probably BJ.
Mayer is a biology professor at the University of Southern Maine, and for the past 5 years, she's been studying the woodchucks at Gilsland Farm, a nature preserve just outside Portland. After she spots one, Mayer and her research assistant set cage-like traps around the holes that lead to its burrow. They bait the traps with apples and peanut butter, and then they wait and wait.
The record is 20 minutes for catching somebody. That's very unusual. It usually takes us, 3-4 hours.
When she catches a woodchuck for the first time, Mayer weighs it and puts an identifying tag through each ear. She also plucks some fur for DNA testing, and sometimes she'll put a distinctive mark on the animal's back with Clairol hair coloring. Mayer wants to know everything about the 40 or so woodchucks living here. She wants to know where their burrows are, where they hunt, who they mate with, who their pups are, and where they hibernate.
I'm just interested in trying to figure out why these animals are the way they are.
On this day, it only takes about an hour for Harry, a woodchuck pup named after Harry Potter, to succumb to the irresistible lure of apples and peanut butter.
Well, hi there. All right. We've already caught you one.
When they're frightened or angry, woodchucks chatter their teeth, which is what Harry does. He's just been trapped for the second time in 10 days, and he's clearly not happy about it. Harry's about the size of a small rabbit with dark brown fur and a big twitchy nose. Mayer coaxes him out of the trap and into a long canvas bag with Velcro straps running up the side.
And then I can just open up the part of the bag that I need to get to him. And we'll pull some hair.
After making sure the identifying tags in his ears are still secure, Mayer checks Harry's weight. An adult woodchuck can weigh as much as 14 pounds. Harry tips the scales at about 2 pounds. Not bad for a young pup.
So he's put on a little bit of weight in the 10 days since we caught him. Hey, come on, bud.
In a few minutes, it's all over and Harry's ready to be returned to his burrow. He squeals as Mayer gently drops him back down his hole.
There you go. Yeah, good boy. Okay, we'll put you back.
Mayer's research is showing that woodchucks are much more social than previously thought. For example, Mayer has noticed that male and female adults often interact outside the fall breeding season. She's also discovered that young female adults tend to build burrows close to their mothers, while the males move farther away.
What we're getting are these clusters of related females. You've got the mother and you've got her daughters settling all around her. That's the first step towards evolving a complex social organization.
Eventually, Mayer hopes to find out whether woodchucks, like their cousins the beavers, are monogamous. Of course, as a woodchuck researcher, there is one question that Mayer gets asked a lot. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It's a question to which she has a quick reply.
It costs $1 to find out the answer, so that's how a little bit of extra funding for my research.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, a woodchuck would chuck all the wood he could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Mayer hopes her research will eventually lead to a better understanding of the evolution of social behavior, not only in woodchucks, but in all mammals, including humans. For Living on Earth, I'm Matthew Algio in Portland, Maine.
Thank you.
comment on our program anytime. Call our listener line. The number is 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988. Or visit our website at www.loe.org. And while you're there, please take our survey. We're trying to find out how living on Earth can help you best use our website. So please go to www.loe.org and tell us what you think. And thanks to everyone who's already responded. For this week, that's Living on Earth. Next week, in the waters off New England, fishermen and scientists are testing new fishnet designs that target abundant species but leave others unscathed.
I do believe that if we deconstruct the wheel a little bit and make gear a little less efficient or more efficient at catching target species via gear modifications, we can let these guys fish almost as much as they want.
How a little stitch here and a little stitch there may help save an industry. Next time on Living on Earth.